It was replaced by, in succession, a bunch of herbs, a mobile advertising something Two Flower had never heard of, but which was apparently a bedtime drink, a suit of armour, and a stuffed crocodile with a lifelike expression of extreme pain and surprise. The shopkeeper reappeared. "Better?" he demanded. "It's an improvement," said Two Flower doubtfully. "I liked the herbs best." At this point, Rincewind groaned. He was about to wake up.
There have been three general theories put forward to explain the phenomenon of the wandering shops, or, as they're generically known, tabernae vagantes. The first postulates that many thousands of years ago, there evolved somewhere in the multiverse a race whose single talent was to buy cheap and sell dear. Soon they controlled a vast galactic empire, or as they put it, emporium, and the more advanced members of the species found a way to equip their very shops with unique propulsion units that could break the dark walls of space itself and open up vast new markets. And long after the worlds of the emporium perished in the heat death of their particular universe, after one last defiant fire sale, the wandering star shops still ply their trade, eating their way through the pages of space-time like a worm through a three-volume novel. The second is that they are the creation of a sympathetic fate, charged with the role of supplying exactly the right thing at the right time. The third is that they are simply a very clever way of getting around the various Sunday closing acts. All these theories, diverse as they are, have two things in common. They explain the observed facts, and they're completely and utterly wrong. Rincewind opened his eyes and lay for a moment looking up at the stuffed reptile. It was not the best thing to see when awakening from troubled dreams. Magic. So that's what it felt like. No wonder wizards didn't have much truck with sex. Rincewind knew what orgasms were, of course. He'd had a few in his time, sometimes even in company, but nothing in his experience even approximated to that tight, hot moment when every nerve in his body streamed with blue-white fire and raw magic had blazed forth from his fingers. It filled you and lifted you, and you surfed down the rising, curling wave of elemental force. No wonder wizards fought for power. And so on. The spell in his head had been doing it, though, not Rincewind. He was really beginning to hate that spell. He was sure that if it hadn't frightened away all the other spells he'd tried to learn, he could have been a decent wizard in his own right. Somewhere in Rincewind's battered soul, the worm of rebellion flashed a fang. "Right," he thought. "You're going back into the Octavo first chance I get." He sat up. "Where the hell is this?" he said, grabbing his head to stop it exploding.
"A shop," said Two Flower mournfully.
"I hope it sells knives, because I think I'd like to cut my head off," said Rincewind. Something about the expression of the two opposite him sobered him up. "That was a joke," he said. "Mainly a joke, anyway. Why are we in this shop?"
"We can't get out," said Bethan.
"The door's disappeared," added Two Flower helpfully. Rincewind stood up a little shakily. "Oh," he said, "one of those shops?"
"All right," said the shopkeeper testily. "It's magical, yes, it moves around, yes. No, I'm not telling you why."
"Can I have a drink of water, please?" said Rincewind. The shopkeeper looked affronted.
"First no money, then they want a glass of water," he snapped. "That's just about..."
Bethan snorted and strode across to the little man who tried to back away. He was too late. She picked him up by his apron straps and glared at him eye to eye. Torn though her dress was, disarrayed though her hair was, she became for a moment the symbol of every woman who has caught a man with his thumb on the scales of life.
"Time is money," she hissed. "I'll give you 30 seconds to give him a glass of water. I think that's a bargain, don't you?" "I say," Two Flower whispered, "she's a real terror when she's roused, isn't she?"
"Yes," said Rincewind without enthusiasm.
All right," said the shopkeeper, visibly cowed. "And then you can let us out." "That's fine by me. I wasn't open for business anyway. I just stopped for a few seconds to get my bearings and you barged in."
He grumbled off through the bead curtains and returned with a cup of water.
"I washed it out special," he said, avoiding Bethan's gaze.
Rincewind looked at the liquid in the cup. It had probably been clean before it was poured in. Now drinking it would be genocide for thousands of innocent germs. He put it down carefully.
"Now I'm going to have a good wash,"